God, through these offerings, we dedicate all that we have and all that we are to your work of reconciliation and love and hope in this world, so that one day soon your peaceable kingdom will come upon the earth. Amen.
Amen. Friends, you may be seated. We're going to say Ben's middle hymn for the second service. Our reading from Scripture comes from Exodus, the 4th chapter. Listen for the word of God. Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow in speech and slow of tongue." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." And then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses as he said, "And what of your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs." This is God's living word for God's living people.
Amen. Perhaps the problem was that Moses never knew that I had set him apart from birth to lead my people out of Egypt. Being God, of course, I knew what I intended, but like all human beings, Moses came into the awareness of his call slowly, over time. It was no coincidence that Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's household. He learned to speak Egyptian. He received the finest education. He learned Egyptian ways. Yet Moses was also a Hebrew. Yes, I prepared him well.
God never anticipated that I, Moses, would put up such a fuss when God appeared to me in the burning bush. In the presence of such a miracle, I knew that I was on holy ground. I removed my sandals. I hid my face.
Yet, when I said that I was going to send him to Pharaoh to bring his people out of Egypt, Moses objected not once, but 5 times.
"Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?"
"I will be with you."
"But when the Hebrews say, 'What is the name of the God who is sending you?' what shall I say?"
"Say, 'The name of this God is I am who I am.'"
"But suppose they don't believe or listen to me?"
"If you take your staff and throw it on the ground, it will become a snake. That will convince them that I have appeared to you."
"But, oh my Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Do not send me."
Moses was looking to a past reality. I was looking to a new future and to the person I could help Moses become. You might wonder, who is this man who would argue with God? But I took Moses' objection seriously because, more than anything, I want to be in genuine dialogue with those whom I call. I want them to share in the decision-making process.
I remember well the first time my brother Aaron and I assembled all the elders of the Hebrews and told them that we were going to convince Pharaoh to let our people leave Egypt. Actually, Aaron did all the talking, but I was the one to whom God spoke. Aaron told the people that we were going to lead them into a land flowing with milk and honey, and moreover, Aaron also said that we were going to be in favor with the Egyptians and that they would give us their silver and gold and jewelry before we left. Some of the elders laughed right in our face, but can you blame them? They all wondered, who are these brothers, Moses and Aaron, to presume to be our leaders? They've never seen chutzpah like ours before. Aaron threw his staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and those elders grinned nervously. Then Aaron put his hand inside his cloak, and it became white with leprosy, and when he pulled his hand back out, it was restored to health. The elders looked at each other and shrugged. And finally, Aaron took water from the Nile River and poured it on the ground. It became blood. And finally, everyone was convinced that Aaron and I were for real. They bowed down, and they worshiped the Lord.
Since Moses refused plan A and didn't want to speak for me, I went to plan B. Who says I can't change? If Moses can't speak, I can still use Aaron. I have to change plans all the time, depending on the choices you humans make. It was clear to me from the beginning that Moses was the one to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt into the promised land. He had all the skills, but Moses didn't know it yet. He needed Aaron for support. When I asked Moses to approach Pharaoh and ask him to let my people go, Moses complained.
Since I am a poor speaker, why would the Pharaoh listen to me? One of the things that you should know about me, Moses, I was not physically impressive. I did not look anything like Charlton Heston. I looked more like Tevye the milkman after 10 rounds with Muhammad Ali. To me, that was all the more reason to be concerned about my stuttering.
I am a patient God. So I said that I would only speak to Moses, but it was okay for Aaron to be the one to speak to Pharaoh. At the time, Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83. I took great enjoyment in watching Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh. I had them warn Pharaoh that I would send plagues upon Egypt if he did not let my people go. For the first three plagues, Aaron spoke to Pharaoh and initiated the plagues. Each time, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not let the Hebrews go. By the fourth plague, however, Moses began talking directly to Pharaoh and performing the signs. I could see him gaining confidence. Ha! Plan B is changing back to plan A.
That night is forever etched into my memory. I called all the elders together and said, "The time has come. Go slaughter a lamb for your families and take blood and put it on the doorposts of your house. The Lord will pass through and kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians, but the Lord will pass over your houses and spare your children." And just as I said, the Egyptian firstborn died. The Egyptians were so scared, they urged us to leave as soon as possible. But first we asked the Egyptians for their gold and silver and jewelry, and after that, we didn't even wait for our bread to leaven. It was amazing. God led us with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. We moved quickly, but remember, there were tens of thousands of us, what with women and children and animals. Everything was going well until Pharaoh changed his mind and pursued us with his army. Despite the plagues, Pharaoh decided he couldn't go on with his building projects without us. And so our hearts sank. We couldn't outrun the Egyptian chariots. We were trapped by the Red Sea, and people were beginning to panic all around me. So I stretched out my hand, and the sea turned into dry land, and the waters were divided. And we walked right through that marshy sea. And as soon as we reached the other side, I stretched out my hand again, and the sea returned to normal, and the entire Egyptian army was swallowed up and drowned. If there is any doubt about my ability to lead, it was erased that night.
So began what would be a 40-year sojourn in the wilderness of Sinai. The first weeks were difficult for Moses. I fell for him. Those Hebrews complained about everything. First, the water was too bitter. Then they had no food. I provided them with manna every day, but all they could say is, "What is this stuff? It tastes awful." They liked the quail better than the manna, but even so, Moses told them to gather twice as much manna on the sixth day so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath, but they deliberately disobeyed him. Those Hebrews were IAMful. Aaron was a help to Moses, but by this time, Moses had grown into his calling as the leader of the Hebrews. He didn't need Aaron as much. Actually, the difference in the abilities of these two men began to be very apparent, not only to me, but to the Hebrews as well. Moses was the one to whom everyone turned when there was a problem. Moses had the wisdom, intelligence, humility, and faith to handle whatever came his way. Most of all, Moses had vision. He not only believed the promise, but he had faith that he could help the Hebrews move into the promised land.
I think God was especially pleased when I received my father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro had noticed how people came to me with all their problems day and night as I sat in judge of the problem. So Jethro came to me and said, "Why are you doing this all alone? You're wearing yourself out. The task is too heavy. Listen up, Moses. You need to delegate these problems to others whom you can train to be judges over the people. Let them decide the minor cases. Save yourself for the major ones.
To his credit, Moses listened to his father-in-law. He realized that one of the most important characteristics of a leader is the ability to delegate, to know what is important for him to do and what he can let others do. It was a lesson he also taught to Joshua when two elders, Eldad and Medad, were prophesying one day in the camp. They were gripped by the Spirit, even though they had not joined the 70 other elders for the official commissioning. Joshua was indignant and said, "What is this, Moses? You've got to stop them." Moses replied, "Joshua, are you jealous? Is this really about overzealous elders or an overjealous prophet?" Moses was comfortable enough with himself as a leader that he was not threatened by those without the proper credentials. Rather, Moses embraced them as partners in ministry.
Jealousy continued to develop in other places, however. In addition to my brother Aaron, I also had a sister, Miriam, who was also a prophet. Miriam was the one who grabbed a tambourine and she led the Israelite women in singing after the Egyptian army drowned in the Red Sea. She sang with a sweet voice, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." Aaron, on the other hand, knew that he was never going to be revered as I was. Most of the time, he accepted his role as my spokesperson, but as I matured in my leadership role, I needed him less and less. And finally, things came to a head. Miriam and Aaron spoke against me, saying that I'd married a Cushite woman, not a Hebrew. They said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?"
I heard this, and I was upset because there was no more humble man on this earth than Moses. So I called these three quarreling siblings to a meeting and said, "Look, Aaron and Miriam, when I speak to a prophet, I speak in visions. But when I speak to Moses, I speak face to face, not in riddles. Moses is entrusted with all my house." As punishment, I struck Miriam with leprosy. Moses, honorable man that he was, cried out, "Oh God, please heal her." Oh, sometimes I do get carried away, but I can listen to reason. Moses' forgiving spirit touched my heart, so I did heal Miriam. But only after she was shut out of the camp for 7 days, all of the people had to wait to march until Miriam had been healed. My hesitations about Aaron were confirmed during that incident with the golden calf. Moses was up on the mountain with me receiving the Ten Commandments and the Torah. I had Moses bring Joshua with him, not Aaron. I called Joshua to be Moses' assistant and successor. It's not that I didn't like Aaron. In fact, I decreed that it would be through Aaron's family that the priests of Israel would come.
But in one instance of misjudgment, Aaron almost threw it all away. Jealousy is such a wicked thing. I had been on the mountain with God for 40 days and nights. It took me that long to learn all about the law that God gave, but all the people were antsy. And when I didn't return right away, they gathered around Aaron and said, Aaron, now you're in charge. Come on, make for us some gods whom we can follow. As for Moses, well, we don't know what happened to him." And so Aaron took the gold rings that they'd taken from the Egyptians and cast it in the form of a calf, and everyone worshipped it. Aaron's problem was that he was not an individuated leader. He wanted to be liked. He wanted too much to be one of the guys, and he couldn't resist the temptation to subsume his identity into that of the people. It's too bad, but Aaron gave in. And then he had the gall to make excuses for himself and pretend that he wasn't even involved.
Can you imagine my fury? After all I did for them, I led them out of Egypt, fed them, and protected them. This is the thanks I get. I have to give Moses credit. If not for him, I might have destroyed them all. But But Moses, great leader that he was, interceded for his people and pleaded for them. I know Moses forgave Aaron, but things were never quite the same between them after that.
Seemed like whenever I turned my back, something always seemed to happen. Aaron wasn't the only one who gave me fits. Someone once stood up and said that I ought to be thrown out, and the motion was seconded by thousands. The Levites, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, took 250 well-known men and challenged me. Korah said, "You have gone too far. Everyone here is holy, all of us, and the Lord is among us. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord?" And I replied, "You do not know how good you've got it, O Levites. God has separated you from the congregation so that you can serve in the tabernacle. God has allowed you to approach God, but it is not enough for you, is it? Now you seek the priesthood as well." Others knew right away where Korah and Dathan and Abiram were coming from. They were jealous and thought that they could do just as well. Many are called, yes, but God's intentions for them were very different than God's intentions for me.
You see, Moses was a highly differentiated leader. He was a man of vision, out in front of his people. His identity was not dependent upon what people desire. He was willing to take the lead from me, even when it was not popular. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were just a political clique, hungry for power.
But no matter. The earth opened up underneath Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families. They were swallowed alive into Sheol and perished in the middle of the assembly. God made a lesson of them for others.
The key to Moses' success was his deep connection with me. Moses realized he could not lead effectively unless he knew who I was. Moses was the only one who saw me in the burning bush. He was the first one to whom I gave my real name. I am who I am. Or as it is better translated, I am the one who will be there for you. Only Moses knew my name.
And I was always hungry to learn more and more of God and God's glory. One time I was chatting with God and I said, "Show me your ways. How can I lead my people if I do not know who you are, if you do not show me who you are? Show me your glory, I pray."
No one could see my face and live. Plenty tried, but none survived. So I said, "Moses, you're asking too much. No one can see my majestic hiddenness and transcendent splendor. You really don't want to see me anyway. You want to know about my character, what kind of God I am. So now I will show you my greatness. Stand on that rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a crack in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And when I take my hand away, you will see my back, but not my face."
I saw God's glory from the backside. And it sustained me for the rest of my life. For when I saw God from the back, that meant that God was ahead of me, God was leading, and I was following. I knew that I wasn't God. But God have mercy, I made it clear more than once that I didn't always approve of God's actions. At times I prayed for God to change God's mind.
And that's okay, because I'm open to change. Because of my love, I'm not rigid or unmoving. I'm willing to hear the prayer of the righteous. Moses and Aaron were not perfect by any means, but I don't demand perfection in order to serve. I've always called flawed and broken people to leadership. So if you ever feel unworthy to be my follower, don't worry. I could work through anyone to bring love, mercy, and grace to the world. That is, I could work with anyone who is willing to look at a burning bush and hear my voice, or humble themselves in the crack of a rock and see my backside. I'll move you on to perfection in my own way. That's why I'm proud of who Moses became. He was willing to work with me and was shaped by that interaction. Leaders who are inflexible and blindly think they're right are not the ones who are following me.
Lord, there are many lessons here for your people. As hesitant and shy as I began, look what you made of me. Despite my inability to speak, still you are able to work through me, leading the Hebrew people, a difficult lot. We had a heart to serve you, and so you partnered with Aaron and me, and together we used our gifts harmoniously to serve you.
Yes, Moses became a true leader. He was able to endure because he kept his eyes on me and not on the complaints of the people. Yet I'm most proud of how Moses prodded me on behalf of the people. It's not easy to stand up to me. I am confronted with choices just as you humans are, but my heart is not hard. The best leaders care deeply for the people, and they know that I will hear their prayers.
And Lord, despite the great strains and pressures that I was under, by your grace, I didn't lash out and blame others. And nor was I threatened by the leadership and skills of others, such as Eldad and Medad, or Joshua or Miriam. And I wasn't afraid to delegate important tasks to others. I didn't need to do it all.
Moses wasn't hungry for power, as were others of his people. He wasn't wrapped up in himself, yet he persisted in pursuing what is right, even demanding to see the backside of my glory. See how it strengthened him. So to all who are gathered here today, whether or not you are called to be a leader, I hold up that same power for you and more. I have shown you my glory in my son Jesus. In him you see me face to face. In my son you can see the fullness of my love for you and the fullness of my power revealed in the cross. Through him you will discover more blessings than even Moses knew. And through my son, you will discover the power to become the person I seek for you to become. Keep your eyes on Jesus, as Moses did on me, and you will have the power to do everything I call you to do, and I will lead you to my promised land.
May we pray. Listening, God, let us live for a moment with the awesome realization that you are here with us and that we can talk with you. We confess how often we forget you, forget to speak to you, or even acknowledge you in our lives. By the example of your faithful servant Moses, help us to awaken to your presence and your grace. May we open our eyes and see that we are standing on holy ground. And may we open our ears and our minds and hear the gracious word you would speak to us today. And may we open our hearts and discover the journey you call us to make, to the end that we might be servants in your power and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of our closing hymn, number 88. Let us stand.